Encounter number one, Genesis 1, in the beginning. What better place to begin than in the beginning? What was it like for Adam and Eve to have fellowship with God before the fall? It's almost impossible to imagine, I know. We're destined to need to confess and repent virtually every time we come before God, because we fall so strongly on His grace to make us worthy even to be in the same room as the Almighty Holy One. But there was a time, there was a day, or maybe a year, maybe longer, in which there was nothing but uninterrupted fellowship between God and the ones who were made in His image. Let's meditate on this moment, however fragile it may have been, that moment in time when the relationship between God and those who were made in His image was innocent. What was it like to walk with God in the cool of the evening? After enjoying a pleasant day of perfect weather, tending the garden, naming the animals, living in paradise. This was not paradise lost or paradise regained. It was simply paradise. No need for confession or repentance. No excuses or shifting blame. No need to try to spin a story. Only innocence and fellowship, uninterrupted love and adoration, unhesitant obedience to carrying out the will of the Creator. In some ways, the relationship may have been like that of a parent with an infant or grandparent with that perfect boy who can do no wrong. But all of these pale in comparison to the actual relationship between Creator and created, as the Creator sings over His beloved and His beloved sings along. Maybe before the fall, their relationship was similar to the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The Word was with God. He came from the Father. He is His Father, and the Father is in Him. He heard from God early in the morning and on the mountaintop and in the garden on the Mount of Olives. The Father who sent Him into the world was still with Him, and He was abiding in His Father, saying or doing nothing without His Father's direction. He said what He heard. He did nothing on His own. What's more, He was always pleasing to the Father, and His Father took delight in Him at His baptism, when the Father introduced Him as His only beloved Son in whom He was well pleased. What would it be like to have no need for repentance, to know and feel the Father's pleasure? Whatever it is like should be our experience after confession and repentance have taken place every time. No need to keep bringing up the same old sins, right? Now, what especially blows me away is that the entire universe, all of creation, seems to be there for the purpose of being subdued by mankind. The same relationship that the Creator has with the universe is the relationship that mankind has with the earth. Creator God has authority over creation. He rules over it, including mankind. And He uses the same terminology to tell Adam what his role is over the earth. Rule over it. Name the animals, work the ground, and then fill it and subdue it. By extension, the entirety of creation, according to the book of Genesis, seems to be to provide an ideal home for man, which means it's all a gift given to the crown of His creation, the image of God in our image, Imago Dei, made with intelligence enough to have a soul, a conscience, imagination, and to learn cause and effect. Scripture says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them. The worship that is happening among sinless angels in heaven who sing worthy and holy and blessing is what we were designed to be a part of. Can we, at least in our imaginations, go back to Eden and forward to New Jerusalem and know again what it means to be one with the Father? So if you ever find yourself wondering things like, what is God's intended will for my life? Or how does God feel about me, really? Or isn't Christianity an invention of people trying to placate an angry God? Then take encouragement from this, my friend. God's intention is for all of us to have fellowship with Him. It's all about relationship. God has always intended for you and me to be His people and for Him to be our God. Sin changed the plan. We're no longer on plan A, and it had to switch to plan B. More about that soon. But know that the ultimate plan has been to have what you might say we had once upon a time. In fact, dig this. Scripture says God blessed them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Man was made on the sixth day, which means the first thing he experienced was a Sabbath with his God. This is what we were made for. So enter his rest. Enter his peace. What the law could never do, the cross completes. Today, can you hear his voice call you by name? The voice of Adonai, and he says, rest. And he speaks peace. The law is dead. Your works complete by a new and living way. Come enter here. Come boldly now. Come boldly near. And hear him speak, rest. This is what we were made for.